Parshas Achrimos and Kedoshim, as opposed to the YU app that scared me on the way here and said only Achrimos. I'm like, oh, this is not going to be good because this is on Kedoshim. I admit, I threatened you last week and told you this would be the last year I'm on my way to America, and my son's Gius was this morning, which I'm sure I'll get to and discuss. But I try to plan my day with the help of your great Rebbe, Rav Paltiel, and said, please, is there any possibility? This was the only possible slot that I would be back in time. And literally, I just got back. It took a lot longer than anybody thought. The traffic was unbelievable. Thank you, Yirmiyahu, who promised us at the times of Mashiach, there'll be great traffic. So we said, yeah, so good. Thank you. I want to dedicate this year, of course, as we did last week, for Yaakov Chaim Ben, Sarah Rivka, that he should have a Gius Kal. It was very, very miragesh, which I'm sure, as we discuss today's idea, we will discuss. But to be there with all these different Hestia yeshivas, and to see the siyums, and to see the dancing, and the beauty, and going in, to just go into the army like that, I have a hard time believing anywhere in the world anybody's singing and dancing the way they did. It was really, really beautiful. I also want to dedicate this year, and while you're eating cookies now, every single year, around this time of the year, not literally around this time of the year, literally, on this day, happens to be, marks the unbelievable important Sudos Hoda that we do in honor of my son Avishai Leib ben Sarivka. Avishai, a number of years ago, I'm not going to embarrass myself and tell you how many years ago because I don't remember, but a good number of years ago, 8 years ago, at 6 months old, he contracted a rash. Which we thought was very not serious. We thought it was because he just started food and maybe he was allergic to something. And it took a course within a few days where his entire body became red with blotches and it was very, very, very serious. And Baruch Hashem for an amazing doctor who threatened us and said, if you don't take him to the hospital right now, I'm calling an ambulance and going with you to explain to us how serious it was. And because of the Chasdei Hashem, which I believe wholeheartedly and why I like to dedicate it here in the yeshiva, at 9:27 I called Rav Boaz. And I said, I've never asked you to do this in my life. I said, Rav Boaz, I need you to say a Perek Tehillim. My son is in very critical condition. We got to the emergency room, and they, you know, if you've ever been to emergency rooms anywhere, but it was hectic. But because he was 6 months old and the way that he looked, they took him in right away, and the doctors had no idea what was wrong with him. They had three possibilities. Two of the possibilities are death. As the good doctor said, for one of them is called Steve Johnson's disease. He says, well, what's the prognosis for Steve Johnson's disease? She said, Tfilah, Zil. Nothing. And we were hoping it was this last one, which is treatable, called SSSS, skin discolitis syndrome, something like that. And they didn't know what it was. I'm sorry, I'm going on a bit, but it's a story of Korban Toda. When you brought the Korban Toda, we said it was so much chalos that you had to invite people to come and tell. And the whole reason was to tell the story. We said Perek Kuf Zayin on Yom Ha'atzmaut night, Yoidu Lashem Chasta, we repeat it. Why? Because it's the same person. Rav Bagno said this beautiful idea that I shared. The Malbim says that it's the same person. You have to realize that all the miracles, if they happen in four, they happen. This person, got lost, ways died inside of an Arab village, and you couldn't get out. And then all of a sudden, you see a Jewish flag, and some guys are just follow me. You're like, hey, thanks God, I love you. And then you get propped up on some charges and get arrested. And you get this amazing lawyer and he gets you out. And like, wait, thank you, God. And then you get sick. And wait a minute, something's going on here. Yodul Hashem Chazdo, you have to tell over the story of the Chasdei Hashem, even B'toch HaTeva. And at 9:46, this is really true, 9:46 when Meirev ends here in the yeshiva, back in the olden days, it used to be 9:30 Meirev, 9:46, I think they were about to stay with Perek Tehillim or around there, a doctor mistakenly came in. And she walked in and she goes, oh, sorry, wrong room. And as she was leaving, the intern who was with us, wait a minute. Can you at least look at this? She didn't even look at the baby. Look at the baby. And I remember her looking at the baby. I didn't know who this woman was. And she was so I saw a smile on her face. She took out her camera and started taking pictures of my son. And I almost pushed her. And I'm like, who are you? What are you doing? She's like, oh, hi. I'm the head of infectious diseases of this hospital, of Hadassah and Karen. And your son has skin discolitis syndrome. I've never seen that in the country. I don't think there's ever been a case of it. Wow. She was so definitive that that was what it was and not the other things. It was like B'chasdei Hashem, and he was treated on very, very high doses of antibiotics, which he was falsely, before he was being treated for the wrong thing. It was all B'chasdei Hashem. So we give Hodah to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we dedicate it. And what better way for Jews to dedicate it through food? And of course, through Torah. So, in that long-winded introduction, if people on Y Torah haven't left yet, the pasuk says, "Kadoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani, ani Hashem Elokeichem." This gorgeous edict to us to be kadoshim tiyu, be holy, right? It's almost like I want to shake you and be like, "Be holy," you know? What does it mean? So, the Midrash Tanchuma says that Hashem says to Bnei Yisrael, "Since I am sanctified, you are going to be sanctified in my name," right? The reason why we're on this earth is for one reason only. To mekadesh shem Hashem, right? One of the, I received two different tefillos. And one of the beautiful tefillos I received from my dear friend Akiva Danto was a very powerful tefillah that one is supposed to say upon Gius, right? Or on the Shabbos before. I've been a bit of a basket case over the, I happen to be the Gabbai at the Outdoor Minyan. It happened to be our last Shabbos. So it was our last Shabbos, and I'm the Gabbai, and I bring up my son for the Aliyah. And this beautiful tefillah, Mishaberech HaOseinu Avim Yaakov Hu Yivarech Ba'avur Shemekadesh Shamayim Alidei Shemashik Tami Vedir Ulochim Milchemet Hashem. That this Mishaberech that my friend sent me is, you're basically saying you're being Mekadesh Shem Hashem. Going into the army is being Mekadesh Shem Hashem. You know why? Because I made you Kadosh, says the Rabbanu Shammah. I made you Kadosh in the name of Hashem. I created, this is still the Midrash. But even before I created the world, I made you Kadosh. I'm Kadosh because of that. You're Kadosh, and therefore you have to be holy. Ani Hashem. Because I'm holy. So Rav Pam quotes the Dubna Magid and asks a very good question. I get the whole thing, the Kadoshim to you. I get it. We have to be Kadosh, because God's Kadosh. What does it have anything to do with the fact that Hashem created the world? Before he even created the world, he created holiness and the holiness that we have to follow before the creation of the world. I don't even understand that. So anybody who knows anything about the Dubna Magid, I don't think has ever given a vort without a story. So here's the story he tells. It's a very, very good parable. He says like this, in his Sefer Ohel Yaakov. So, being puzzled by the Midrash, the Dubna Magid says he wants to explain it with the following way. There was a very rich man who lived in a small town, and because he was very rich, he, Baruch Hashem, had great fortune to have the schus of getting tzedakah. And he went to the, I assume maybe to the larger town, and went to the biggest yeshiva there, the famous yeshiva, and went into the Rosh Yeshiva. The Rosh Yeshiva was so excited to see one of his biggest donors, or the biggest donor, and he says, "Okay, my only daughter is ready to get married. I want the best bachur you have in the yeshiva. The biggest lama, the biggest masbid, right? The top of the top. The pill of the ployim, right? The number one of the number one. Best of the best. The klugers of klugers." And they said, "Okay, hands down, it's that boy over there." He meets the boy, very impressed with him. He says, "You know, I got a daughter, shidduch, yishkoyach, mazel tov." They get married. Fast forward, the father-in-law agrees to support this amazing child, this prodigy, with one caveat. He's going to buy him a nice house. He's very rich. He wants him to live in the town that he lives in. He says, "Great." So it was a very unimpressive, spiritually, not so spiritually oriented town. And there wasn't much to say, but every morning they started to give him the key to the local shul because he was the first one there before Vasikin. He got there and learned. And when they finished the latest Meyer, which wasn't that late, 8:30 Meyer, whatever it was, he was still there until the wee hours, until he just couldn't keep his eyes open, and he went home. And his wife was so impressed. He wouldn't even take lunch breaks. It was hasmadeh that you wouldn't believe. Well, wouldn't you imagine, after a few months, he decided, you know what, I don't have to get there that early. I mean, Vasik is pretty early in the morning. I'll get there for Vasik. And you know what, it's not so fair to my wife. I'll take an hour lunch, hour and a half lunch, or whatever, 2 hours maximum, you know. But he still was there the earliest and there the latest. And when Meyer was over, he's like, "All right, I'll learn for another half hour. I'll go home, see my wife, 9 o'clock. His father-in-law finds out about this. He says, "What happened to my masman? What happened to my my kluger of klugeris? I don't get it." And he gets very upset. And he goes to his son. He says, "Everybody knows your story. Everybody's so impressed with your hasmada. What happened to you? You were the pre-vasikin shir, you know, the real kol boker, right? Call a boker when it's not boker yet. What happened to you?" So he says to me, "What happened to me? No offense, my dear father-in-law, but it's a little bit of a chutzpah. Ask the shamash." He gave me the key. I'm still the earliest person there and the latest person there. So I don't have a smother. I'm firmer than anybody in this town. Fonla says, I didn't ask you to marry my daughter because you're the firmest person in the town. Nobody asked you to be that. That's no nechama for me. I want you to be who you were in your yeshiva. He goes, wow, you're the firmest of all the abkarsim here, don't know anything? Comes along to Ramagan and explains the parable, and he says, we have a responsibility as Klal Yisrael to be holy. Holier than who? Holier than who? Especially when you hear that famous line, oh, look who thinks he's holier than thou. We get made fun of if we're too holy, right? The big Shana Aleph, Shana Bet problem. You come home, and then, oh, look who's run Esther so long. He's holier than thou. He's a holy roller now. He dresses this way. Who do we compare ourselves to? Do we say, well, I'm much morally inclined than anybody I know, any of the Gentiles that I know on my block, Azai Chutzpah? They have minimal standards. I'll tell you a bad story, but it's true. This morning in the rush to get out, we decided to take my little kids. So they were bored. They had got up already, and my son was delayed a little bit. So my other son said, oh, I'll let them watch sports highlights. Okay, this is Rabbi Yisai, regular YouTube video of sports highlights. You know, you can't see YouTube for free. The first thing that comes on, I'm not even going to say the name, is an ad for a quote-unquote mutter, not raunchy or anything like that, lingerie company here in Israel. Literally with women so not seen as a dress. My wife starts screaming. I'm like, what? I said, it's a regular ad. It's not like a... She's like, that's a regular ad? And I realize that's exactly what we're speaking about. I'm comparing our holiness as Jews. She's right. She says, no, if we had a good enough filter, it would be... She's right. Hashem, says the Dovid HaMagid and Rapam, said, I created holiness before you created. Don't compare yourself and think that you're holier than those that... No! You have to be holy before creation. We have to understand what holiness really is. Don't compare ourselves to the Apikarsim. Don't compare ourselves to the Goyish nations. Don't compare ourselves to what people think is holy. And we'll explain that in a moment. Says Rav Sternbach, relatively, it's a new sefer. They published it in English. My wife bought it for me. So for me, it's new. And he says like this, Rav Sternbach. He says, who are we comparing ourselves to? It's very interesting if you think about this. It's a very, very astute observation. He says that when we think about holiness, so our holiness is a little bit skewed because it's taken out of context. Because if you look in the other nations, you'll find a very interesting form of what they call holiness. Let me explain to you. He said, we tend to associate holiness with exceptional tzaddikim, right? And we say, oh, see that the guy at the Kotel? He's very holy. Why? Because he's Prushim. He doesn't talk to anybody. He doesn't eat. He doesn't drink. All day, all he has is, happens to be, I was noticing, somebody told me, you know, when I went to hear Rav Bitterman live, he just drinks tea all day. He doesn't have time to eat meals. Rav Yigal Cohen tells the same story. He says, his amazing wife will say, wait, you're not going to eat anything. Well, he says, so I won't eat anything. She says, no, take a omelet, say something, you'll have something for the day. That's what we think is holy. Holy is. If holiness were to consist of the abstinence of worldly affairs, that's called a cult. That's not what it is. The title holy is reserved for someone who engages in worldly matters for the sake of Hashem, for the sake of heaven. That's avodas Hashem. And not for the sake of physical pleasure. Our physical essence is elevated, not negated. You know what the Goyim called the highest spiritual person? A monk, a priest. Why is he so holy, Lahavdil? Because he takes himself away, right? Not so far away from here. In back of the yeshiva is where the monks live. Right? There's these, they believe Beit Jamal, where they think that Rabbi Gamliel is buried. They live there. And what does it mean? They're not allowed to get married. Right? Can't get married because marriage is a disgusting thing to get married. Your physical pleasures? Says Rav Sternbach, that's exactly not what we believe. Withdrawing from society, denying ourselves of things. And we say the opposite.
says Rav Sternbach so beautifully. By contrast, the hashkafa of Torah is that holiness can be obtained even when living together in society, as long as a person's actions during the day, his speech, his eating, and so on, is for the sake of Shemayim. Therefore, hence Shabbos seems to be the opposite, the highest level of Kedusha. Me'ein Olam Haba. What do we do on Shabbos? We have something called Oynik Shabbos, a chiyuv. You have to eat, you're not allowed to fast on Shabbos. There's a mitzvah to partake in the choicest of foods, the oiliest of foods, right? Lechol mam shvanim mam takim, sweetest of sweets. Some people believe you can't gain weight on Shabbos. I could prove to you that's not true. But no, isn't that the opposite? He goes into the famous Ramban, what's a novel Bereshus HaTorah, not so important for our discussion. But the Tehillim Yudalit says, a novel's a fool. He thinks he's doing, with the Rishus of the Torah, he's being firmer than Frum, he's doing this, wow! He's an idiot, he's a fool. That's not, and he uses the Torah, he takes it hostage and says, look, I'm Frum, because I do this. That's not Frum. Frum is living in society. Now, I think this is awesome, that of all people, Rav Sternbach says this, because Rav Sternbach is the head of the Eid HaCharedis, and he does not live in the society that we live in. He lives in a quite a black and white society. No pun intended. And he's all the way there, and we are the ones, I'm taking his words and saying, yeah, thank you, Rav Sternbach, that's the way we live. We live to be Mekad Hashem Hashem. And therefore, the Medrash Tanchuma says, the Kedusha of Kedoshim Tiyu was established when? Before the creation of the world. Of course Hashem wants us to live as part of this world. One of the biggest complaints about, now I'm going to go on my diatribe, about serving in the army. Well, the Haredim don't want to serve in the army, of course, is that famous mantra of how can we be part of society? So, I have a Devar Torah from your own Rav Sternbach who says you got to be part of society. Kiddush is going into an army that is not a religious army and telling them, no, we can't do this. Despite the fact my son drafted with Baruch Hashem 30-something of his own people from his yeshiva, from Yeshiva Rucha. No. You have to give us 15 minutes for davening, Mincha Ma'ariv. You have to give us whatever it is in the morning. You have to give us time. Yeah. And when they're out in the shetach, I had this discussion with my son. I was impressed with this. I don't think I would hold from this. And they give out deli sandwiches. And everybody's so excited because they don't have to eat that tuna sandwich that they've been having for weeks. And even the cats look at the tuna and go, not for me. He says, no, I want to eat mahadran only. I hold from glad. I'm not eating that. That's kadoshim to you. That's kadoshim to you. And to sit with a soldier who's not from and to say, hey, do you want to know a little bit about the parsha? To be Mekad Hashem Hashem and the way you are and the way you act. That's Kedoshim to you. But that Kedusha, the Rabbanu Shalom gave us before the creation of the world. Don't you dare compare yourself to other people and say, well, I'm more Kedush than they are. No, no, no. I have to be different. We can dress like them. It's okay. It's okay. I'm wearing a polo shirt. I never wear a polo shirt to yeshiva, but I'm coming straight from the geus, you know, I'm sorry. Right? When I get on the plane tonight, you won't know. You would hardly know I'm even from. I started wearing a baseball hat. I don't want anybody to be judge me anti-Semitic. I'm my own person on the plane. But trust me, I'm going to say thank you and please, and I'm going to be respectful because that's kedusha, something that we miss in our society. You're fortunate to live, to have made a decision to make your life a life of Kedusha because you chose something pretty amazing. Because most people had didn't really choose Shana Aleph so much. It was kind of chosen for you. It was a peer pressure. Shir Bet is not really a peer pressure. It's something you actively decide that you want to do. And once you do that, you're basically making a statement of Kedoshim to you. You could have not gone to Israel for the year. You could have been, which is some people, and they end up just fine. Kedoshim to you. And then you decide to go Shana, okay. And then some of you, might have a story about, and I decided not to go to that yeshiva because I know it's more of a party place and I wanted to challenge myself more of a chulu. How many students, when I went back in my recruiting days, I was trying to recruit them specifically because it was between our yeshiva and a non-yeshiva. It was between us and going to college, between us and going to, a university here in Israel even. I said, whoa, this is a challenge. It's a challenge of Kedoshim to you. And then after this is all over, he said, no, I want more. Wow. It's amazing. But the real challenge comes with life. The real challenge comes with, it's not that bad. Everybody else is doing it. I'm not going to do that. No. Baruch Hashem, we have many, many laws that protect us against being Kaddish. But sometimes we take these laws and we bend them a bit and say, I'm still going to be better than other people. I'm still going to hold from the laws of Yichud, for example. Just, I'll keep the door slightly open, but nobody really will see that I'm in the room. No. And as I said, Kedusha, pretty amazing. We take wine, which is the quintessential beverage of sin, of potential sin. Go way back to the times of Noah. And we dafka or mekadesh our Shabbos with it. We dafka mekadesh marriage, which we call kedushin again, which is something that seems mundane to the outside world, and say, no, I want to make this kaddish. I was pointing out to my kids and some guests we had on Shabbos, some girls from a local seminary. And so we were having a little discussion because they were like dumbfounded that my son is going to the army. And I said to them, what's so special about this country is now, I could say, my wife's a college teacher. So this, one of my kids asked the question. It's a strange question. It's a beautiful answer she gave. What if a Chiloni girl called her and said, hey, I hear you're a kollel teacher. The law in the state of Israel is if you want to be married legally, you need to have kollel classes. You need to go to the mikvah. Every Jew has to go. You have to go to the law. You can't be married without going to the mikvah. She said, I want you to be my kollel teacher, but I'm not paying you. Am I crazy? My wife's like, without batting, of course I would do it for free. Now, who am I to say anything? I'm teaching you numbsicles for free. So I said to her, there's a white turtle. Oh, I feel terrible. I'm kidding. I'm drinking a Coke Zero now. So comes along, that's the whole idea. It's like a double Kiddush Hashem, to live in a country of Kiddush Hashem, right? Somebody put it to me this way, said to me, it's such a weird, he says, you know when I knew that I wanted to move to Israel? Sometimes people have in their life moments. Sometimes it's Yom HaTzimut for people. This is when I decided I wanted to move to Israel. This is when I decided to become Frommer. This is when I decided to become Frommer. This is when I took Gemara Bar Mitzvah, whatever. This person's story was the following. It's a crazy story. It's a friend of mine, he said to me. We were on, I think it's the 10th grade trip when you go to Israel from the high schools, go to whatever, Machach and whatever, Sulam and all those programs. And we were stuck on a hike in the middle of nowhere and somebody fell in the water. And he hit his back on a branch and he couldn't move. Problem is the middle of nowhere. After like 5-10 minutes, tons of people just started coming, running, whatever. And afterwards, we all got on the bus, and one of the nicer people from whatever it was, I honestly speak to it, some rescue, Hatzalah or Magen David or whatever, he came on the bus to calm people down, because we were all like, we didn't know. He says, don't worry, your friend's going to, they had to get a helicopter, actually an army helicopter to get him out. He was fine in the end. And somebody asked the question, who are you? He says, I live in the town closest to here. I got a call. I own a jewelry store. I closed up my jewelry shop. No, and he says, can I ask you a question? What, are you an idiot? Why would you close your... He says, because we're a Jewish nation and that's what you do. Who cares about how much money I'm going to make in the next few... I want to try to save someone's life. What's wrong with you? And he says, there's 20 other people who came, heard the same call that I did. I was like, wow. Right next door, Rav Bagno often tells a story that when, I don't know if he still teaches in Bar Ilan, he's a Rebbe in Bar Ilan. So he says that when he used to, so he believed that you say Tefillah Sederach, but you should say it once you get onto the highway. So he said, once I would get on 38, I used to pull over. He said, I don't want to say driving. I don't think that was appropriate. So he said he would pull over. He says that almost every day he would pull over to say to Tefillah Sederach, a car would pull over in back of him. If this was in New York, you would be, now I'm going to die. And somebody would say, do you need help? He thought maybe you have a flat tire or something because you put his hazards on. That's Eretz Yisrael. That's Kedusha. We should be zoche to work on these levels of Kedusha, Rabbi Yisai, because to me, that's is an integral point and premise for us living, not to be like the other nations and reach their Kedusha level, be higher and higher because their Ribono Shel'Olam invented Kedusha, as the Midrash says, before there was Kedusha. And that's the mantra we have to have. Kedoshim tiyu ki kadosh Hashem before! Not like anybody else. Over and above.
should be zoche to be mekadosh shem Hashem. And when we do that, and when yiskadol yiskadosh shmei Rabba, when we're able to be mekadosh shem Hashem, the Rabbim, that will bring Mashiach Tzidkenu, because we're living in a world of chilul Hashem, a chalal. Without a Beis HaMikdash, there's a chalal, there's an open space. And when we bring more Kedusha to this world, we should be zoche to see the Bayis Shlishi v'Meir v'Yameinu. Amen v'Yameinu.